Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we close in on the first set of post-split fixtures. Rangers confirm for the first time takeover talks as the club appoints a new sporting director. Callum McGregor adds his voice to the Greg Taylor must stay conversation, saying he's one of the best in Europe in his role. And Derek McInnes believes Kilmarnock are ready to fight and scrap to stay in the top flight. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, big news with Rangers finally admitting takeover talks are underway, and it'll be interesting to see how quickly that develops. But for now, that's for further down the road, because the big news is Celtic at Tannadice on Saturday can wrap up the title and take one step closer to a treble that looks more likely by the day. And of course, that isn't the only big news, because if you look at Aberdeen and Hibs and down the bottom of the table, huge games all across the country, including ourselves tomorrow at home against Falkirk, who are going for the title, but we're also going for the playoffs. So, huge weekend of football.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to settling down tomorrow night, a nice cup of coffee and a biscuit, and watching Mark on that touchline with his stopwatch and his face going white and whiter when Falkirk keeps scoring and scoring and scoring. But I wish him all the best. But he's right about the weekend. You look at early kickoff up at Tannadice, Celtic fans hoping to go up there and celebrate another title win. You're looking at Aberdeen against Hibs, looking to get into that third place, who's going to finish there. Then when you get down the bottom of the table, a lot of important games. And if St Johnston, who I think are going relegated, if they've any chance in the world, they've got to beat Motherwell.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need, so give us a call right now, please. Football doesn't stand still for very long, does it? When we came on air last night, Rangers did not have a new sporting director. There was discussions about it, and they had never, ever publicly said anything about these takeover talks with 49ers Enterprises. Fast forward to tonight's show, both of those have moved on significantly. There is a new sporting director in place in Kevin Thelwell from Everton, and the club has confirmed they are in talks for a takeover. So Rangers fans, it all seems to be moving now after some weeks and months of reports and speculation and people scrambling around for information. You now have an official appointment and an official confirmation that a takeover could be imminent. So give us all your thoughts there, please, on 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, we're going to hear from your captain, Callum McGregor. He's getting ready to try and seal yet another trophy, and hot on the heels of his manager, he's added his voice to the notion that Greg Taylor should stay. He believes he's one of the best on the continent at that specific role he performs within the team. So give us your updated thoughts there. Of course, the bottom of the table coming into focus as well. We'll hear from Derek McInnes. Mark Wilson quite rightly pointing out that the Championship is entering a really crucial period, and it is awards season. Within the next few days, the shortlist for Premiership Player of the Year will be revealed. It is a 4-man shortlist, so we thought we'd get in there and get your suggestions before that is revealed. So you give us a call tonight or send us a tweet with your 4-man shortlist. Who are the top 4 players in the country this season? I'm not looking for the winner just yet, because that's too easy. We'll get to that within the conversation. But who are the top 4? The shortlist will be revealed in the coming days. Which 4 players should be on it? Let us know. and I always like this time of year. That's always a good discussion because everybody can get involved. It might be someone from your team, it might be someone that's caught the eye against you, it might be someone that's just done brilliantly across the entire league season. So what would your four-man shortlist look like? I'll get Mark Wilson and Gordon DL to come up with one as well. 0141 951 1025. Never a quiet day, Gordon DL. Your colleague Simon Donnelly should know better. This time last night, he was sitting there where you are, and he thought it might be a kind of quiet midweek, and then all of a sudden Rangers make that appointment and confirm the takeover talks all within the space of about half an hour, and then on we go.
It's great news for everyone concerned at Ibrox. Excuse me, Gordon.
Are you okay tonight?
I don't know what's hit me. I think it's aftershave or something. My throat's killing me. Anyway, I'll get back to it. I think it's great news for everyone concerned with Rangers. I think that Barry Ferguson was quite right to come out after the European campaign had gone and said, look, whether it's me or someone else, the club has to go forward and it has to go the now. They couldn't wait to the summer and start playing catch-up with Celtic because it'd be far too late. They've got to get out now. That's what they've did. Sporting director's in. You'd imagine now everything's concentrating on the manager. That's going to be an important one. Give him a chance. Give him a chance to hit the ground running. But I think going forward, the takeover as well, I think it's fantastic news if you're a Rangers supporter today.
An extra competition for you tonight as well is guess how many times Gordon DL will cough between now and 8 o'clock.
I'm struggling, by the way.
I don't know what's happening.
Pat in the back.
Closest person wins a sign ball. Do you know what I really loved? Because obviously they automatically put all three mics on at the start of the show. See, when I was trying to do the intro to the show and he just coughed all the way through it. I particularly like that nice touch tonight.
He doesn't care, this guy, does he? He just cuts across everybody.
What am I supposed to do? Something hit my throat.
Why is your voice so...
I know, I'm like
what's
Kermit.
What's going on?
I'm like Kermit the Frog tonight.
Aye, speaking of way, all right in the office. Anyway, it's all moving in the right direction for Rangers, you've got to say. And I think a sport director is such a crucial role at a football club just now. I mean, I know myself, Partick Thistle, appointed a director of football, so I've got a glimpse into what that entails. And obviously, Daz was sporting director, director of football at Airdrie, so it covers a lot of ground at a football club. And I think one as big as Rangers certainly needs to get that appointment right. And I think probably in previous years, it's all been a bit disjointed. So Kevin Thirlwell certainly knows his way around a big club. Everton, he was at Red Bulls as well in New York. So big organisations, but maybe no bigger than Rangers in the job it's got to come.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, what do you make of the confirmation that takeover talks are underway? I think we knew that, but it always adds something when the club itself comes and says something about it. You've got a new sporting director as well. So what do you make of those developments? Celtic fans, Callum McGregor now the latest to urge Greg Taylor to stay. You're closing in on winning the title potentially at the weekend. Thoughts there? And don't forget, I want your four-man shortlist for who should be in the running for PFA Scotland's Premiership Player of the Year. You don't need to reveal it yet, but you two comfortable with that? You think you can come up with a good list?
I think I'll come up with the four.
You think you'll get the definitive?
I think there'll be one argument in it, but right. I think Mark might go elsewhere, but my four.
You're going to say Simon Murray, aren't you?
100%.
By the way, and yeah, I listened to him the other day. Simon Murray for Scotland. You're getting a cut of his
I did not shout here for Simon Murray for Scotland.
That sounded right. Like you were there.
No, but I'll tell you what, I'll certainly shout for him for on nominations for in the top four.
Well, we'll see. Give us your top four. Oh, so it's like half wish list, half prediction, because this will be revealed in the coming days, so you can try and predict who they'll be, or ultimately who would your four be. You can send us a tweet as well, and of course when it rolls round at the start of next week, if you've got all four right, then well done to you. But give us a shout, let us know what would your four man shortlist be for PFA Scotland's Premiership Player of the Year. The lower league shortlists are already out, we're just waiting on the big one. Brian is in Broomhill and is going to kick us off. What's your point, Brian?
Hi, good evening, lads. I'm actually just calling to speak about the possibility of obviously the input of money into Rangers and Scottish football. But first, just I'm going to do a name check. I don't normally ever do this. I've ever phoned you before, but I just wish Aidan McIntyre good luck for the London Marathon on Sunday. As you know, he's running for Cats for Kids. So
brilliant! That's a good shout.
I'd just like to say that everyone that knows him are proud of him, etc. And by the way, we've just said that Matt O'Reilly's just sponsored them £500, which
is nice. Gordon DL says he'll stick 650 down, Brian, right? I'll get it.
£6.50.
500?
I'll get it off a wee bit more. At the end. You know, the thing is, somebody in here was supposed to be running the London Marathon as well, but...
Yeah, you gave that up.
Well, Aidan's taking my place.
That's the Aidan that's taking your place. Because you've got chocolate knees.
Well, I did, I got a massive injection in my knee yesterday, so it would have been hard to run. But, yep, good on him, running it for cash for kids, so everybody...
So Aidan's the one that took your place?
Yes, with Tuna Club, so get over to his website, or Instagram, and support him, cash for kids.
Well, we've got somebody out there that probably will complete it.
Well, surely you should, then. Surely you should get the wallet out now, a man of your means.
Yes.
Hold on a minute, I'll tell you what, I'll match anything you've put in.
Come on, you can you could put Matt O'Reilly to shame.
I'm going to stick
a local
600
celebrity
in.
Like you.
I wouldn't need to pay you off with a credit card. If I had that, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Anyway, right, Brian, what are you thinking?
I will get back to it, but Wolf Tuna is his website, and if there's any other professional players like Matt O'Reilly out there, give him some support. But anyway, in regards to my main point, I'm not a Rangers fan, but I just think that any input of money into Scottish football can only be good. You know, whether it brings people back that weren't going, if the crowds, you know, if the stadiums get bigger, or just the image of our game. I mean, I've been listening to today. The reason I've called and mainly was that I was listening to, you've heard that station mentioned a few times, and I won't mention it, but the Sport Channel down south. And they talked about the money coming into Rangers today, and it's like a Mickey Mouse league. The 49ers, the best thing they could do is put it into Rangers rather than Leeds, because it would be a quick win. They'd win the league, because they'd all need to do is put, to, literally just running our game down, as these people do all the time. So basically my point is, do you agree with me? Mm-hmm. Is it good that money's coming into Scottish football, whether it's coming into Dundee United, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hibs, Celtic, no matter, there's money coming in, and it can only be good for the game.
I don't mind the notion. I mean, I'm sure Brian knows that'll never catch on. You know, rival fans don't tend to often care about what happens to other clubs, but Brian's taken a wider view on it and thinks that any sort of investment or even fresh ideas is
it's good. Certainly good for Rangers if they've got to get anywhere near Celtic, because Celtic right just now are just flying into the distance financially, going to probably great opportunity to win the treble, should win the league at the weekend maybe, Dundee United, I know we'll have something to say about that. The golf is massive, and Rangers need investment, and they're certainly going to get that. The only interesting thing, I keep hearing Ross McCormack every time that I'm on the show with Ross, and Ross does a lot of work down in Leeds, being an ex-Leeds legend, as we call him, scored a lot of goals. And he has the opinion that they're not going to throw the kitchen sink at it. They've got to come in and run it right as a business and take it forward. So it might be a patience game. It might take a little bit of time, but at least there's other owners coming in, their investment. They've got off and running here, sporting director. I think the new manager will be coming in very, very soon, and they'll try to prepare as best as they can. And I think that is good news. And you're right. Any money that comes into Scottish football for Scotland, and I think people down south do sometimes have a look up our game and knock it a little bit. I think they're totally wrong. But I'm delighted the money's coming in, and so are Rangers fans.
I think two ways of looking at it, Mark. Whether it's a new manager coming in, a new player signing, or a takeover, nothing in football is guaranteed. Now, it's not like I think we shouldn't fall into the trap of thinking every takeover means automatically brilliant news, but I think it's because of the position Rangers have been in. Yeah. They feel like anything fresh, any progress would be good. As Gordon says, if you think it's all magic wand and it, you know, everything changes, maybe it does, but clearly there are no guarantees there. I think the Rangers fans have just been beaten down by the last few years, and that's why they're particularly excited about it.
Of course, and it's hard not to be excited. I think when the news broke, we said in this show that it's got to be a positive from where Rangers have been, and it seemed to be one negative story after the other with Rangers, and a lot of infighting in the boardroom as well certainly doesn't help. What you get with this is a real bit of interest. So the fact that there is talk on different sports shows down south shows how much a big deal this is, and it is bringing money into Scottish football. What we need is a competitive league. And let's be honest just now, over the last decade or even longer, it hasn't really been competitive. Rangers turn up once and won it. Celtic win the rest. They keep banking the money. and it gets less and less competitive. Now, I know those other fans will just say, well, Rangers and Celtic will just run away and it'll create an even bigger gap. Maybe that is the case, but maybe it creates other opportunities. I know we've got other investors, American investors in some of our other clubs, and Dundee United and so on and so forth, but maybe a franchise like this just shines a bigger spotlight on Scottish football. Who knows where it leads? Maybe it paves the way for others. I think it will be a good thing for Rangers, certainly, but I think it'll be a positive thing for Scottish football. And again, it all comes down to marketing and how the league, how it's distributed throughout the states or whatever. But I think it'll drum up a fair bit of interest. And again, who knows what comes off the back of that. I know it'll never happen, but you see rumours, Jose Mourinho, you know, because of the connection.
I think so.
Jose Mourinho to Rangers?
Yeah. Why not?
No, he was getting linked to Leeds as well, wasn't he, today as well. But, you know, that kind of interest, who knows what players you might get coming with that sort of interest. So I think it's a good thing, but there is a lot of work to be done. For Rangers fans that think they're going to come back from pre-season and they're going to have an A-list manager and five A-list signings and millions of pounds of back, it's never going to be the case. It might be a slow burner and take a season or two, but it's certainly going to be a positive.
Thank you, Brian. 0141 951 1025. Craig's a Rangers fan. You've got a sporting director. You've got a public acknowledgement that takeover talks are underway. So what are you thinking?
Yeah, it's very positive, Gordon. Now, as you know, I'm not someone that phones up the show and says, oh, I've heard this and I've heard that. I'm one of these guys that doesn't tend to believe it until the guys stood at Ibrox with the scarf above his head.
Oh, but I suspect you're going to break a habit of a lifetime tonight, aren't you? You've set that up.
I've set it up, and funnily enough, last week I heard one of the callers saying, "Oh, Bailey Rice is starting in, you know, Spain," and Gordon's like, "Who's your source?" So unfortunately, I can't say who my source is, but the reason I've called up today is, the guy that I get a lot of my away tickets from, said all along it's going to be someone that's managed in the Premier League. And obviously, you can narrow that down to about 200. But what I've heard today, and I've no reason to doubt this guy, because I've known this guy for over 20 years, and he doesn't tell stuff if it's not wrong. And what I was saying to the producer there was, it would line up with what's come out, because this Furwell guy, who, I'll be honest, I don't know an awful lot about, but everything I've read ticks a lot of boxes, and by all accounts he's wanting to bring up the academy guy from Everton as well. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the games I was at on the bus with this guy, I heard a whisper about, yeah, he used to manage Everton, and I said, is it Rafa Benitez? And he kind of laughed. So you're going to say, I can't really comment too much on it, but what I've been told, sorry, I'm kind of dragging this on.
No, it's great. Your sense of drama, you get me in the edge of my seat.
I'm thinking Sean Dyche. I'm thinking Benitez.
Sean Dyche is the name I've heard.
You just ruined it. You was building that up.
Sorry, mate. Craig's just I was sitting in the same bus as you.
Craig's just Oscar-worthy build up there, and you just spoiled it.
I'm sitting behind Craig, listen to that conversation.
So, Craig, you're telling us it's nailed on, Sean Dyche, next Rangers manager.
Well, I mean, what I heard was, as I say on the bus, he's like, oh, Everton. And as I say, it would make sense. I don't know if he worked for the guy Furwell, but as I say, it's not something, and I'm not someone that would like say, oh, I've heard this, I've heard that, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo's come to Rangers or anything like that. But I think as well, because Sean Dyche apparently is a close friend of Mark Warburton, and, you know, we could get the background story from him or whatever, but I just think, out of all the names, and you know, the Jose Mourinho's and the Russell Martins and the Steven Gerrard's and this, that and the other, I think for me this is the one that has got the legs in it. And as I say, the guy that told me that obviously Dazzler was in the same bus and stuff like that. this guy, whenever he tells me something, I'm like, okay, well, we'll see how this plays out. But that's something, and I think what Mark was saying just before I came on there, it's not going to be a case of, you know, all these names come up to Rangers and it's going to be a slow build, but I think it will be the biggest turnover since, you know, Dick Advocaat. And I'm not talking about going and signing the Dutch left back or the Dutch midfielder like Van Bronckhorst and Newman, but I think obviously with this investment it will be a case of, you know, it could be a sizeable funds there for I'm talking about the money that Celtic spent last summer, you know, 20-25 million and getting big players off the wage bill. But Sean Dyche, I think, is a solid name, if that makes sense. I think he was someone fans could get behind, and the history of keeping myself, it's something that I do believe now will happen. I'll probably curse myself here, but...
You'd be up for it if it did, yeah? That's one that excites you.
I think so. You know, he's obviously not, perhaps, like a lot of Rangers fans, you know, do, oh, we want Gerrard back, and, you know, one of the last times I was on, I said I was dead against that. But yeah, I think Sean Dyche, as I say, it's a solid name. It's someone that's got good experience down south, and I think we've been burnt too bad, you know, with the foreign managers and say, oh, you know, we don't understand the league, and obviously he's never managed in Scotland, but as I said, he's allegedly close with Mark Warburton, and he can get that kind of thing there. But as I said previously, I'd love to see Barry Ferguson or Neil McCann stay on, you know, in the coaching staff, and he's obviously got one of them there in the summer, if that makes sense as well. Yeah. But it's it's definitely one I would get behind. As I say, I think after what I've heard today, it seems to be the one that will happen.
There we go. You believe in Craig's source? Has Craig convinced you?
I've heard it before.
Think so.
I've heard it before.
Where? Yeah. Where did you hear it?
The back of the bus. I told you. I was sitting behind.
Is that the Motherwell supporters bus that you go on?
Yeah, Craig will be on the phone on Thursday night telling us a story.
So you buying that?
I think it's a possibility with the connection with Everton, with the new sporting director.
How big a possibility?
I don't know. Do you know what I'd be really excited to hear is, would that float the boat for most of the Rangers supporters? Would they see that as a real top signing?
We'll answer the man. Firstly, are you buying it? Are you backing Craig's source? And if it is true, would that excite you Rangers fans? What about your new sporting director and takeover confirmation talks? Get your calls in. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here at 01419511025, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. So do get in touch. Don't forget, at some point tonight, I'm looking for you to get creative, get thinking, get predicting what is your four-man shortlist for the Premiership Player of the Year, because it will be revealed in the coming days, and I want to know if you can give us your suggestion or maybe even predict who the four would be. I'll put Gordon and Mark to the test as well, but get thinking, come up with your four and send it in, because it's not just about your team, whoever that may be. Is there anyone else out there that's caught your eye? You might even be big enough and bold enough to heap praise on your rivals. I don't know, I wouldn't hold my breath, but we'll wait and see. John is next on the line. How are you, John?
I'm fine, I'm all good, aye. Thanks for having me on here. I was just listening to the previous caller there. Mm-hmm. About the Sean Dyche appointment. Rangers, if you're going to have the investment, hopefully, that they're going to get, Sean Dyche is nowhere near the elite manager status that we're going to have to get to attract players to compete at that level. It's not us. I wouldn't like to think it as anyhow, but to change world of football, certain things like that happen. But
give me a scale on the sort of the strength of your feeling. Would you be dead against it? Would you be dead against it, or could you be convinced?
Totally against it. I thought when he was going to, see when he was talking about Everton, man, and Everton connection, I was thinking along the lines of maybe Ancelotti rather than Sean Dyche.
What, the current Real Madrid manager?
Aye, well, he's talking at the end of the season, isn't he?
Aye, right, I suppose. Stranger things happened.
Listen, I think you'll get this right up until the appointment, right? But some Rangers fans still think that Barry Ferguson should be given an opportunity. You're listening to people talking about Steven Gerrard coming back to the club.
Big Sam, he's
No, please, no, not at all.
Why not?
No disrespect to Big Sam,
100% record as England manager.
What a career he had, right, as a manager, brilliant. I wouldn't let him manage Motherwell, never mind come back.
By the way, listen to this show.
I think his days are over in management. I think, I really do. I think he's
anyway, I don't know why. I shouldn't even mention
forget that. But you're looking forward here and you're thinking, right, it's got to be the right appointment. I think because of the takeover, sporting director come in, I think Rangers fans, I think they might get this wrong. I think they will be looking for a showbiz name coming in there. You know, Mark mentioned Jose Mourinho, right? I think it'd be a great sign in the world for Jose Mourinho, only personally, to come to Scotland and manage at Rangers. But I don't think it'll be that sort of a, you know, highlighted sign?
Well, firstly, the reason we're having this discussion is because the previous caller brought up, he's got sources, he's got someone he trusts, so that, and he thinks it's going to be Sean Dyche. The other thing is, Mark, there is a two and two together element of this, because the new sporting director has come from Everton. Apparently he's looking to bring the academy head from Everton with him as well. So people, understandably, are maybe looking at his connections and seeing if there's anything in it.
Well, football's full of that. It has been since the start of time that people use their connections, and, you know, sometimes it becomes an old pals act. I think football is kind of getting away from the old pals act, but one thing's for sure, if you've got a guy that was in a position like Kevin Thirlwell was at Everton, and he gets to see the inner workings of some of these elite coaches, because that, they're elite in their own field. So the academy coach at Everton, the head of the academy, will be elite in his field. So he must like the way that youth have been, you know, pushed through and the way that they've been coached. So that seems a positive appointment. First team manager is different. I think you made a good point when we were chatting in the break about it. I mean, Sean Dyche done remarkable things with Burnley to keep them in that league year after year and push them up the division and just manage the full club in a Premier League way. But it's different when you go to a club that has to be forward thinking, attacking football, breaking teams down. That's a different skill set as a manager. Maybe Sean Dyche has got that, but he's just never been approached for those top jobs. Maybe he has got it in his locker, I don't know, but I've just never seen it, even when he went to Everton. You look at the other side of the set with Celtic when they were appointing managers. Brendan Rodgers was always that attack-minded, you know, manager. And Postecoglou, we didn't even know him. But obviously they'd done their homework and Celtic knew what they were wanting in terms of brand of football, and they certainly got it.
Yeah, because I suppose in that appointment, that clearly was prioritised over his profile. Now, I know he had been an international manager, but in terms of the size of the reputation of the name in this part of the world, clearly it was more about the football they thought he would bring.
Without doubt, because Celtic could have appointed any manager probably that was out of job from the Premier League easily. And there was loads rumoured, we were chatting about them all, and Celtic fans would be on, I want this one, I want that one. Postecoglou came from left field. However, it was his style. He, you know, everything about the way that he played suited the club. Now, that's where the sporting director is so important, because he's the one that's painting the picture for the full club, the way that he wants to play, and he has to be aligned with a manager, and the youth coach has to be aligned with that as well. That's why Kevin Thirlwell's appointment.
And plus the fact, on the Postecoglou one you're talking about, yeah, I totally agree. Style of football, wanting the fans to get off their seats, but a context of players that nobody else really knew, i.e. the Maidas, Hatatis and Kyogos that come in and lit up Scottish football. So they might be looking at someone that is, you know, plays the attractive football, but also has players in mind that off field, if you know what I mean, people wouldn't know.
What is it in particular that makes you against the suggestion, John?
I'm just the two points I'm going to make, quick points, is the most important point, appointments that we need to get right as players. We need to get recruitment right. I keep saying this on here. We need to get recruitment right. It doesn't matter what manager that comes in. We need to get the recruitment right, the right players. What happened with Gerrard, we got a wee bit of success, the same with you. We have to push a boat out and get proper elite players to back up a proper elite manager. Or we're just going to go along the same road as we've been the last few years.
Well, that's where Kevin Thirlwell will have to come in, Mark, and try and hit the ground running, because we've mentioned it before. Sporting director, director of football, you're now experiencing it at Thistle on a smaller scale. Ian Barraclough's come in. They are in charge of numerous things, ranging from the academy, maybe even the women's teams, sports science, the full structure Everything. Of the footballing yeah. department. But the bit fans really judge them on is recruitment. Now, yeah. Nils Coppens still there underneath that as well, and Rangers will have recruitment staff and analysts and all that. But really, although we are getting used to sporting directors, director of football now, we're a bit behind Europe, but we're starting to get used to it. Fans really just judge them on who's signed.
Yeah, and sometimes it is right to do that, but sometimes, you know, it's a joined up effort. You say there's big recruitment teams, especially at the big clubs, but the manager, that is huge then, because I think it's rare now that you hear it in some clubs that you just see tragedy at the end of it, where the sporting director or someone makes the signings and says to the manager, this is what you've got, go and play them. And it never works out that way. So that's why there's got to be a connection with the manager. So that's why the manager's a huge appointment, to get a sort of conversation going.
Sounds to me like you're in favour of Kevin Thelwell appointing somebody that he knows.
Well,
it sounds like you're coming back round to this idea.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just joking.
I agree with Matt.
Why would you appoint someone you don't know? And that if you are
for the job.
Connection.
Yeah, you're trying to get your feet under the table. You're trying to get a grip of Scottish football. You're going to want someone that you are familiar with. Maybe not best pals, but someone that you kind of know their style of play and who they would bring in.
Thank you to John. What about David on the other line? What's your point, David?
Hello, panel. Hi, Gordon, Mark.
Hi.
Just to take a wee bit of issue with what Gordon Dale says just at the start of the programme. I'd like to say, I'm a big fan of Gordon. I was actually at the first game that he played for Rangers at Parkhead in the 70s, so just...
80s. Yeah. 80s.
You've added a few years on.
Yeah. I'm old enough, David.
What's he said that you disagree with, David?
He says about Rangers needing that, about Celtic being that so far in front, about Rangers, they're just not going to catch them just now. But see, when it comes to the Scottish League, I don't believe that for a second. And I know there's thousands of other Rangers fans out there don't believe that for a second either. Because if you take out the rest of, and I obviously inconsistently comes in here, if you take out the rest of the other 10 teams in the league, if Rangers had beaten them, and the Celtic have won all their games, Rangers may be still sitting top of the league. So I think when it comes to just actual new basic Scottish Football League, I don't see how Celtic are still miles and miles and miles in front.
David, a couple of things, right? I know what you're saying there, but Celtic are going for another treble. Celtic are cash rich. Celtic play in the Champions League. Celtic can go out and sign players at 9, 10 millions. They sell players for 25 millions. They've got an elite manager. So are you trying to tell me just now that Celtic aren't quite far away from Rangers?
Is this not about a longer period of dominance as well, David? I've heard this before and obviously understand it because you're talking about the head-to-head record this season. But that, if you take the other teams away, firstly, is quite a big if. But then secondly, even if we play your game for a second, you're talking a title here. Celtic are now about to potentially win a treble, yet another treble. It's year after year. Rangers are looking to get that level of dominance, are they not? It's not about nicking a trophy here or nicking a title here or nicking a cup and then it goes back the next season. In terms of trying to be the dominant force over a long period, surely Rangers are still behind Celtic quite a bit in that regard, no?
Yes, in that regard.
But that's what people are talking about. No one's talking about the ability to maybe, like I say, grab a one-off title and then it goes back to Celtic winning the next five or grab a cup here and there. We're talking about like bigger picture, surely.
But what I would say that was, if Rangers can get like this takeover over the line, they get a decent manager, a couple of decent signings. If they win the league next season, or maybe even you know, next season, maybe the season after it, then that will give them a springboard to go on and on and on. And I don't think it's going to be totally dominant after that one team, you know, winning 9-10 titles in a row. I just think it will be much more of a level playing field.
Well, listen, it's not about, you know, picking one or the other, Mark. I'm a bit confused because I thought the whole point was the Rangers fans are so excited by this because they feel that they need it because they are behind that. So yeah. I thought that's where the excitement was coming from. Because if David's saying they're actually not that far behind, then you could say, well, we're not actually really need.
Well, David, I think David's judging that on recent fixtures and, you know, Rangers can win, you know, a couple of games a season against Celtic and, like you say, win a Scottish Cup, win a league. But it's sustained success that the Rangers fans are looking at, and maybe that is a couple of league titles, and then, you know, that's what the league needs, and that's what I think the excitement is around the takeover that that gives you every chance. Now, when Rangers won the league, Steven Gerrard said something. What was it? You know, you need to fix the roof when the sun's still shining. And Rangers didn't move forward. Maybe they couldn't move forward because the state the club was in behind the scenes. I think with a takeover, if you do manage to match Celtic in the league and then pit them, I think they'd be in a much better place then to then reinforce what they've got. And I think that's why there is so much excitement about the 49ers.
But you've got to add in, listen, I said at the top of the show, I think if you're a Rangers fan tonight and you're hearing the way the club's going, the takeover, new sporting director, it's going the right direction and that's what it needs. I'm talking, I know Davey's talking about maybe the odd game here and there, what you're talking about there, but overall as a club, Rangers have got to be in the same sort of a level. Celtic are bringing in players and selling them for 25. Rangers will never just now, would never, and if you kept going the way you're going, they've not got to sell players for 25 million. They brought Jota back for 8 million. They sell Tierney for 20, brought him, Matt O'Reilly. So their sort of a way of working as a club from top to bottom right now is miles better than Rangers, i.e. why Rangers are addressing the situation with new owners, sporting directors, getting in the right direction to try and challenge Celtic.
Thank you, David. It's time for me to tell you about this. Grade one. You're running out of time to win £530,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk for £250 as well, or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm tomorrow. Just imagine it. You hours away from refreshing your banking app and seeing over £530,000 in there. Or if you're Hugh Keevans, you still walk down, type your PIN code in and see where it flashes up on the screen. Maybe get into the post office or something. I don't know what he does with his millions. But text YES to 61025 and you could win that money very soon. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are in the building, both waiting for you to get in touch. 0141 951 1025. That's the number that you need. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB if you would rather do it that way. Let's hear a bit from the Celtic captain. Celtic fans, if you want to get involved, you can do. Give us a shout. Callum McGregor believes Celtic's dominance is underappreciated due to their recent success as they close in on another treble.
Absolutely. I think it's desensitised everyone to how actually difficult it is. And like you said, it just sort of becomes expected. It becomes the norm. But again, the players have to then live with that because it's the standards that they've set. So the level of player, the level of team that we've managed to build here over, you know, probably the last 10 years or so, it has been a really successful team. So every year the expectation's there, it grows and grows, and you have to stay with that as a player. And like I said, it's a kind of double-edged sword for us because we are the ones that have set that expectation. But that's where you want to be as a footballer. You want to be tested, you want to be playing on the limit all the time and expected to have success. So that's what a big club like Celtic brings. And yeah, it's difficult, but you know, I think the players enjoy it as well.
I think that has happened inevitably. The more you do something, the more it gets taken for granted by everybody.
Well, Mark's played at that level and won a lot of trophies with Celtic. So, I agree. I think everybody, apart from people in Aberdeen, think the Celtic are nailed on for a treble. Remember, there's still a cup final to play. Mm-hmm. And cup finals can go either way. Yes, we'll all be saying on the day that we fancy Celtic to go and win it. And if they play to their best, especially at Hampden, where they're so successful, Brendan Rodgers never lost, then they will win that treble. Yeah, I think when you look at the Celtic team, you do. And to win a treble is a very difficult achievement. But they've been terrific this season. They've been the best team in Scotland. And for me, they will go on and win it. And I think Callum McGregor's quite right to point that out. You know what I mean? You can't just take anything for granted. And I keep going back to the still Aberdeen.
I think with a younger generation, I think he's correct with that. And especially a younger generation of Celtic fans, I mean by that, just they've just been born through.
Maybe even on the outside though, just everyone, you know, because Celtic are the best team, they're the most dominant team. It feels like they should kind of always win the league at the moment. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can translate that into a treble.
Well, Daz is right. Like, I played in a very talented Celtic team, but we weren't always picked at the post by Rangers. We went out in cup ties, regularly. Hampden was a place that we did not enjoy playing. We were on the end of some poor results, so everything needs to be perfect. It's never something that I just take for granted with Celtic winning these trebles. I know how difficult it is, and he's right to point it out. He has set an incredibly high bar. The team have set incredibly high levels. He's been at the forefront of it for the past decade, and it's been incredible what they've achieved, and it won't last forever. It just won't, but it's been a real purple patch the last, whatever, decade, and so many trebles within that.
I've always thought, Gordon, because like, the league's the obvious barometer of consistency. That's how you judge who's the best team. Once you do that and add the cups all the time, or as often as they have, almost just the law of averages not catching up with you, or guarding against just that one-off day that sees you go out a cup, you know, or just something goes wrong. It can genuinely happen to anyone. So to do the treble or be in contention for the treble as often as they are, it's more about that consistency, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why they've got to take so many pats in the back, Gordon, because you're right, over a league campaign, you've always got time to catch up. The cup, one mistake, one sending off, one bad decision, all of a sudden that treble's gone. So to win the cups, I think, obviously, for Celtic, is the hardest, because I think you're right. You look at Celtic at the beginning of most seasons now, and you say, right, who's got to win the league? I think every pundit in this goes for Celtic, no doubt, over the course and distance, because they're the better squad and the better team. But to win cups, because, and I hate, Raith Rovers, you know, we went up against Celtic in a cup final and was given absolute no chance. And to this day, you think, well, how did we win that? And you've seen it before. You've seen St Johnstone win cups. Well, you've seen, so it happens. So to have that sort of consistency when the pressure is on in a cup, because, as I say, one mistake could put you out, they've got to take credit.
Well, there is still one member of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard team who, before a ball was kicked this season, said that someone other than Celtic or Rangers would win the Scottish Cup.
Sitting right here.
Did he say Aberdeen,
I think even that's an interesting prediction. Oh. He said someone other than Celtic or Rangers would win the Scottish Cup.
I'll give you,
I will reveal on match day.
What would you rather now then? Celtic win it, or you get your prediction right?
Well, Celtic have won enough trebles, have they not? I don't get many predictions right.
Priorities in a strange
would you
order.
Take Aberdeen?
No!
I tell you, I hope the fans are listening.
No, treble, statue. Come on. Oh, bring it home again.
Frank is on the line. Frank, or Celtic, I take it you'll be confident to get over the line this weekend, just need a point.
Yes, I'm very confident. Very confident indeed. I've got a suggestion to make.
Go for it.
I think if Celtic can avoid defeat on Saturday, thousands of supporters will converge in Celtic Park. It'll be chaotic. And I think Celtic should open up the stadium to the season ticket holders. Let them in and have a small celebration in there. A few speeches by Brendan Rodgers and Callum McGee and a few others. There'll be plenty of flags. No trophy there yet, but there'll be plenty of flags. I think the atmosphere will be terrific.
I don't know if people can hear Frank, it's a wee bit muffled, but he's basically saying Celtic should open the stadium and let the fans go if they get over the line on Saturday. To be fair, they usually do it outside. Yeah. And I know Frank's maybe want to make a distinction about it being inside, but usually the Celtic way, there's a stage, there are speeches, and
I remember having
to go and work at it about midnight last season.
But do you know where I thought Frank was going with this? I thought he was going to say, look, you know, because it's at Tannadice and there's people out there clamouring for tickets and desperate to be there.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably been at every game, Gordon. Unfortunately, they're going to miss out on a massive occasion if Celtic go and win it. Because remember, it'll be a tough game.
Just need a point.
Yeah, I still think Celtic will get that, right? I think they'll go over the line. I would thought Frank was going to say, look, open the stadium up, let the supporters in to watch it on the big screen.
They're beaming back.
Yeah, exactly. And celebrate.
That was seen as like cutting edge.
I think Celtic played PSG years ago and there was the old beam back or something like that. That was amazing.
Yeah, because they'll feel part of the. They're not in the stadium, you know.
We're now suggesting events.
We're an events
consultancy all of a sudden.
You're in charge of the food. We'll do the logistics.
Sounds brilliant. Anyway, thank you to Frank on 01419511025. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, for after Beat the Pundit, get your calls in and give us your four-man shortlist for PFA Scotland's Premiership Player of the Year. Everybody loves a Player of the Year debate. I've got a sneaky feeling most people are going to suggest the winner, the same winner, and you know who I mean. But what about the four? Let's see if we can come up with all four who'll make it onto that shortlist. Give us a call. But before that, if you want to call right now, please, for Beat the Pundit, 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. We're into the second hour of tonight's show. For those watching in the live stream, let me apologise on behalf of my esteemed colleague for that disgusting yawn that he did.
Come on, Mark.
Coming out of the news, he obviously thought the camera wasn't back.
Keep
on.
Them awake, aren't they?
But anyway, it's 0141 951 1025. Lots of talk about Rangers breaking their silence, as the tabloids would call it, about this takeover and appointing a new sporting director. We heard from Callum McGregor just before the news as well, so if you want to keep going on those topics, please do. But it is a staple of the Scottish football calendar. In fact, it's a staple of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard calendar. I love a Player of the Year debate. Everybody does. So for tonight, because we're days away from finding out the four-man shortlist for the Premiership, who would your four-man shortlist be? I need four names. It's too easy to say Dyson Made, I'll win it. Give us the four-man shortlist. What does it look like? We'll then maybe talk about picking a winner. Call us right now on that and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. You were back to winning ways last week, Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah.
Happy with that?
Yeah, a bounce back ability, it was called, as I like to say in the game.
Again, it's not just you that says that, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but I say
Soccer AM made that word up.
Did he? Was it Soccer AM? Right, okay. I was under severe pressure. But I only, if you've noticed, there's a trend here. I only lose when I'm playing three, four people at one
time.
Well,
the man next to you is on a four-game winning streak.
Yeah, he's strong. Fire. Powerful.
One of you will play Stuart in Cambus Lang. How are you, Stuart?
Hello.
Have you ever played before? You sound a bit out of breath, Stuart. Yeah.
No, I'm just a bit nervous, that's all.
Don't worry about that.
Don't get nothing, Stuart.
These two next to me are capable of absolute nonsense on Beat the Pundit, and I'm very much on your side. I'm always on the listener's side, so there is nothing to be nervous about. See if there is a chance to take a point off of him, either of them, in fact, I will do it. All right? So let's not worry about this.
Well,
let's not overthink
Stuart,
it.
Stuart, thank you, all the listeners.
Exactly.
Have you got MD with you, Stuart?
No, just myself.
Oh, that makes it worse, mate. Nah, your neighbours will be looking in your window and
I've rung them. You'd have been happy last night, though. I had to wield the axe.
Oh, who with?
Took one off Cammy Bell last night.
Oh, right, we
thought. Oh, so I did
just
hear
just
that.
Just to prove that it's not only you. And by the way, he can deny it all he wants. It's starting to get to him that he's near the bottom, right? So he was fired up for it. He was, you know, he was doing like goalie stretches and stuff during the break.
Uh-huh. He had done that in his career.
He actually performed okay. He did all right, but did he got done because I said, "What club? No, what? Yeah, what league?
I did this.
What league has Tayosi Olasanya gone to?" And he said, "Houston." MLS.
No, yeah, it was the other way around. Was it?
Yeah. Oh, that was a bit. But I agree. I agree.
You're spot on.
Rules are rules.
He says MLS. The answer was Houston.
I have to warn you both. Genuinely, I think the questions are a bit different tonight. I think there's a few kind of.
Oh, that's not good for Stuart.
No, Stuart will be fine.
He's a bag of nerves.
Stuart,
bag of nerves, this guy.
Just keep going, pass. You'll eventually get one.
That's true or false.
Exactly. Heads, it will be Mark. Tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. And it is. Tails.
Tails.
Gordon. up against Stuart from
Stuart. Come on, Stuart, don't panic.
Right, Stuart, what we'll do is give him some greatest hits radio. You've got 30 seconds, Stuart. Answer as many as you can. You're allowed to pass if you want as well, so that takes the heat off a bit. All right. Ready to go?
Good to go.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Rangers will wear what kit brand next season?
Adidas.
Jock Steen managed which English club?
Swansea.
If you played for three quarters of the Scottish Premiership, how many teams would you have played for? What kind of question is this?
Oh, I say six.
Dick Campbell manages which team?
Rafe Rovers.
Ali McCoist made his commentary debut in which other sport this week?
Golf.
Facial.
how different are some of these questions?
They are strange questions.
Strange questions, though, that's what I'm saying.
Right, I've got a funny feeling, right? No. Just with your face.
Don't worry about my face.
We're quacking here.
Don't worry about my face.
Stuart, he's a four already. One will day me. One will get me over a line
30
here.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now.
Go.
Rangers will wear what kit brand next season?
Adidas.
Jock Steen managed which English club?
Leeds.
If you played for three quarters of the Scottish Premiership, how many teams would you have played for?
Four. Oh no, no, it's not four, is it? That's not it. Go.
Dick Campbell manages which side?
Who?
Dick Campbell.
He's five.
Ali McCoist made his commentary debut in which other sport this week?
Snooker.
In what year did Rangers last win a treble?
2000 and... Two.
That maths question was one for the ages. That is so good.
Stuart, many did you get?
No, the maths one.
Where did that? Honestly. Three quarter, right, hold on. There's 12 what? Teams, aren't they?
Are you serious? I thought maths, you were alright because of your golf handicap.
I know, I don't know. What happened to me there?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what happened to you.
Are you seriously?
I'm still struggling with that.
What's a quarter of 12?
I might have a chance.
So what are three quarters of 12?
Nine.
Finally. Anyway,
what did that say?
He said four, then eight. You just heard a quarter. Didn't you?
Sorry, for nine. Four.
Rangers will wear Umbro next season.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You did not. Jock Steen managed.
Hold on. I think this is only going one way for Stuart.
Jock Steen managed Leeds 1-0. Gordon DL. If you played for three quarters of the Premiership, how many teams did you play for?
What did Stuart say?
Six, I think.
You can't
laugh at MD for that question.
I know, I should have got that because maths is my subject.
Dick Campbell manages East Fife 2-0, Gordon. I was hoping, Stuart, you were going to pull this one out of the bag. You'd maybe seen it somewhere. Ali McCoist made his commentary debut this week. It was not golf, it was snooker. He's done you a zero, Stuart.
I told you, Stuart had donut written all over him the minute he came on.
I think the questions were genuinely tough.
Ugh, not really.
You made a pig's ear of a few of them.
No one.
And the Umbro one.
Right, okay, that could have went either way.
And you got the Rangers treble wrong.
When was the Rangers treble?
2003.
What did I say, two?
It was the 2-3 season.
Two what?
The 2002-3 season.
So, I say it's 2002.
That ends in 2003.
It doesn't matter, it started in 2002. Doesn't it matter anyway?
They won the treble in 2002 though.
They started off to win the treble in 2002.
I'm sorry, sure it was
Sturdy
a zero.
Boy.
Oh, the question
no.
didn't fall for me.
They didn't, exactly.
Hold on, see if they'd asked your name the night, I think you were still struggling.
James Forrest wears which shirt number for Celtic, Stuart?
40
49.
I was trying to improve that the questions could have fallen different for you. How many points were Bonnie Rigg Rose deducted this season? I'm trying to get him a question on the board.
Ask him his name. True or false? Are you Stuart from Gambitslang?
He can't get the 10 wrong.
Have we ever done that before?
I don't know. Go. Stuart, go for a zero in the 10.
Is this public humiliation?
Yes, go. Stuart, you're all in. Come on, son.
He's going to be the best loser, though. That's how he's got to think.
You'll be remembered.
Who won the top flight in 1983, Stuart?
Stuart! Hurry up!
He's away. He has hung up as well. I feel bad now.
I would have probably.
No, he's hung up.
Did he?
We pushed that too far. I've got regrets here.
Get Stuart back.
No, that's that love poor Stuart. From us. I thought we were just going to have a bit of fun and go through it. And we've chased the poor guy
seven,
off the phone.
Seven runs.
No, that's hold up. No, we need to have a look at ourselves here.
Aye, okay.
People are not going to phone in and take part anymore.
I'm going to tell you, I'm loving it.
We get ridiculed.
Never
enough,
made exactly. Something hang up though.
We just had a bad connection.
No, I'm not sleeping tonight.
A tunnel or something.
I'm not sleep tonight.
Well, you know.
Nah, I feel terrible.
Stuart's fine. He took it in good sport. Who was it? Aberdeen.
Dundee United.
Aye.
Oh dear. Oh,
say sorry. Sorry, Stuart. For
it was
you being
James
rubbish.
Forrest's number. It was you that tried to get someone to get 10 wrong
answers. Exactly. Imagine being nothing the best at being rubbish. At least you
I
can
know,
say
I
was the first
been,
one to get a
0
to 10.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's...
I think you bring him on tomorrow night,
he'd
be a
0
to 20.
That's right.
I'd send him a ball. I'll cheer him up.
Yeah, I'd send him. Give him a ball.
That's a good point, actually.
Give him a ball. Yeah, give Stuart a ball.
Producer Jay. Producer Jay's raging because I've burned through all these questions. Because usually the leftover
he's
questions
to work tomorrow.
Get used tomorrow. I know, imagine
good questions, Jay. I
imagine
like
having to come up with three extra questions. I'm sure you'll manage. Send him a signed ball. Send Stuart a signed ball with a signed picture of Gordon Dale.
Nothing to do with me. I didn't force him for the 10.
Stuff like that's right up your street, isn't it?
Yeah, like things like that. Humiliating
other people.
No. I just like being involved in, you know,
like
what I mean?
Dominating others. I think
backing Mark up when he starts.
Just like, as a complete aside, I don't know why this popped into my head. I think I was thinking about things you would love, which is a really strange road to go down. But I'm on the next obvious one. Obviously, you love golf. We reference golf quite a lot. You'd have loved this today, and I'm going to try and tie it into this show. I was in St Andrews working. That's where Dundee United train, as Mark will testify. You've got to go and take a wander by the old course. Just keep up. Just have
walk
a wee look
up
at
the fairway.
No, just have a wee look at no, 'cause you get hit by a ball. But have a wee look at who's teeing off, who's putting an 18, etc. Right. So there's a guy that is hoaching with American people as always. No offense or anything, but just
hoaching. You don't hear that word that often.
Every accent was, and then I could hear one Scottish guy coming up the fairway, and it just got my ear tuned in. And I thought, I'll take a look at what this guy does on the 18th. And he's miles off the green. Right. He's I took a picture as well, but he's about maybe 50 yards off the green, maybe more. Mm-hmm. He's got the putter in his hand and he's sunk it.
No way.
Straight, and he's gone daft, the guy, right? So if you're out there, if you're listening, I've got faith that this show has that reach, phone me. Because I took a wee picture at the back of
it. Did he get a two? Was that a two?
I'm not sure if it was a two or a three, but
nevertheless. Because you can get near that green if you hit a big drive.
I think it was a three, but anyway, he was giving it big licks.
That's a highlight, isn't it?
And it was a nice day. Everyone's applauding.
Love
from
it.
The back of the green.
Well, for MD out there listening and phoning, please, it's my bucket list. I've not played.
Oh, listen, I'm looking favours for you. It was just an
did I not read it's getting discounted heavily for Scottish residents?
Yeah.
40
quid
around.
I would pay 45.
Surely we'll get a freebie though.
Anyway, if you're out there, if that was you, you can phone in. Anyway,
yeah. Any right, members phoning.
Pick your 4-man shortlist for the player of the year in the Premiership. David. Go on, give us four names.
Straight away, the four names would be McGregor, Maeda, Dalby and Penrice.
Okay.
That comes with a caveat, though. I would have had Nicky Cadden in the Team of the Year, maybe, so he won't win it. He won't be in the shortlist because he wasn't in Team of the Year. And also, Simon Murray, I would have had him ahead of Dalby because the way he's just been talismanic with Dundee. But the fact that they're not in the Team of the Year, I don't think they'll be in the shortlist, so that's the four I would go with. No Rangers player deserves to be anywhere near it.
What level of detail? Because David's given us what his version he would like it to have been, and now he's applying the actual specifics of the way it would work. So
I like Penrice.
So just to recap, David, because I don't mind going purely hypothetical. If all things were open, all things were equal, you would have Simon Murray in instead of Dalby and Nicky Cadden instead of Penrice. Yeah.
Aye.
So it'd be Cadden, Cadden, Murray, Maeda, and McGregor. Okay, that's not. What do you make of his list? Critique his list first before giving his
yours. I like it. I like Penrice. He's obviously in Team of the Year. He's had a brilliant season for Hearts, but then you look at lost semi final, didn't finish in the top six, but individually.
It's an individual award.
Yeah, individually, he's been excellent. I think Nicky Cadden at Hibs is probably, for me, the best delivery of a ball from the wide area in the Premier League at this present moment. And it's a pity because if you look at even the team of the year. Hibs are sitting there in third after the start of the season that had, and not one player gets a mention. That's voted obviously from the rest of the players that play against them week in, week out. I like it because it's thrown a little spanner in the works for me, because they certainly weren't in my thoughts.
Again, Mark, let's have a bit more flexibility with it, right? David's bang on. He's talking about the team of the year and stuff. Wipe the slate clean from that, if you like. What would your four-man shortlist be?
McGregor, Maeda. I think Kuhn done enough in the opening stages.
Any other
season.
Teams getting a look in here?
Mm. Well, it's hard to.
Well, he did go for Aberdeen.
The last one. So the three Celtic players, I think, will be in there.
I think all three of them will be in.
I think so.
Well,
now the last one, I think it's a toss up between Dalby, because quite often the top goal scorer and the guy up there top of the charts for a team in the top six will get the nod for the players, so I think he probably deserves it. I think shout for Murray, but I think Raskin, I know David said that no Rangers player will be in there, but I think Raskin's been good this season. I think Raskin might pip that last place.
Good shout, but I think Raskin is a little bit like Kuhn. I think Kuhn at the beginning of the season was absolutely dynamite, brilliant. I think he was probably, everybody's going, oh, he's a stick-on for player of the year. Now he struggled, well, I don't mean struggle, but he's not in the team. And he's not in the team for a reason, because his form's dipped right off. I think Raskin was the other way. I think he's come on, and some of his performances in Europe have been absolutely brilliant. I think it's a great shout for Mark. I'll throw another one in. And I know he had a terrible game against Rangers. I think Alistair Johnston has been brilliant for Celtic. I really do. I think he's been brilliant for Celtic this season. Consistency, everything about him. But the one I'm definitely getting, I think Simon Murray, if it wasn't for Simon Murray at Dundee, I think Simon Murray would be below St Johnston. Not just because of his goals. The effort, the work rate that I look at and everything that he puts in, he's a team player as well, Gordon. He's not just a goal scorer. Know how you get guys that go, oh, he scored 20, 30 goals or whatever it may be. Simon Murray will not be noted for his goals for me. I think it's his work rate as a team player. And that's what I love about him. So that's why I have him in my top four.
So if you had your way, it was Murray, remind
me. Well, I've got about 10 now.
No, you need four.
Right, okay. Maeda, obviously. I'm going to go for Murray. I'm going to go for Alistair Johnston.
Right.
Uh-huh. What's up?
I'm just counting them up. Carry on.
That's three. Right? Three quarters of three. And my last one, I'm struggling.
What's going on here? I can see who's got written down.
Yeah,
I don't know why he's not saying it.
I've got Penrice written down.
So you're going Penrice.
He's going for two fullbacks.
Two fullbacks in the four man shortlist for player of the year.
That's got to be a first at that. Would have
I think everybody will realise that Maeda will win it, right? I
really so don't start voting fullbacks.
No, I think, well, Penrice has been brilliant for Hearts, right?
He
really has. Simon Murray is a centre forward, so he's in it.
So Callum McGregor's not getting a shout, not getting a nomination for you?
I think Callum McGregor is the same. I think he's had a strong second half to the season. Right,
he started off in fire, scoring his
goals. I know he's got, but then he had a wee bit of injury and stuff like that. Look, Callum McGregor, I watched him at the weekend against St Johnstone, dominating, starting off the performance that Celtic ended up with, and yeah, they're an argument, but you can only pick four, Mark. And I look
at nine.
Yeah, but I look at
you. Look at fullbacks.
Everybody looks at Celtic and said, "Oh, you've got to pick them treble winning team," but there's other players out there contributed a lot to other teams, right? And I think, as I say, Dalby's the one that's argument for Dundee United. He's been excellent for Dundee United. I just think Murray deserves it because he, I think he's...
But remember, it's player of the year in the league.
I don't... Look, it doesn't
in the league.
It doesn't matter who you put in, right? Because Maeda...
Hold on a minute. So player of the year in the league...
I'm just mixing it up.
You are making it up.
David, Gordon wants Alistair Johnston mentioned.
I mean, it's more about the omission of McGregor there. It's a wee bit off the chart. Johnston's had a really good season, but...
Many assists Johnston had. There you go.
I, j- just don't think he's going to be on a four man shortlist for player of the year playing right back.
That's it. Get the right backs out.
You know what?
Is that what happened to you?
No, I did get a nomination for the young player of the year picked by Derek Rardon playing at right back, but right backs don't get the recognition. Actually, in saying that, Fernando Rixon shared it with John Hartson that year, yeah. So I'm pretty sure he played right back.
All of a sudden, my right back's looking not bad now.
Well, okay. I like Johnson, but he's not going to be in the running. He's not going to be players, I don't think. No. I think you need to be outstanding, like a Tavernier who scores plenty goals, to be right up there in the headlines. And I think Johnson's brilliant, goes about his business well, but I don't think he'll be in the run.
Gordon Dale's gone two fullbacks in his four-man shortlist for Player of the Year. What is your...
Pick a back four.
Wait, did you see my goalie?
What does your four-man shortlist look like? Give us a call right now and we'll hear your suggestions next.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here. They're asking you to pick your four-man shortlist for Player of the Year in the Premiership. Lots of people giving it a go on Twitter. Give us a call. Gordon Dale's all over the place. He's got two fullbacks in it. I never thought I would see the day.
I'm playing defensive.
He's got James Penrice and Alistair Johnson alongside Maeda and
Murray.
Simon Murray. Okay. Right, give us your thoughts. So 141 951 1025, that is the number that you need. I think I've got a full time teaser for you as well. Okay, thanks to Stephen in the city centre. Can you name the last nine winners of the PFA Player of the Year award who've played for a current English Premier League team?
Van Dijk?
No.
Tavernier then? Oh, English Premier League, sorry.
What's happening here? So who do you want to suggest?
Was Tavernier one?
Yes. I was trying to take it away from you.
Tavernier, Newcastle.
Yeah.
No. Van Dijk never won the award. I'm sure it really bothers him.
Andy Robertson, did he win it?
No. He did not. So we're looking for the last nine winners of PFA Scotland Player of the Year who've made an appearance for a current English Premier League side. So James Tavernier's the only one.
Did Ryan Kent win it?
Edward.
Oh.
No.
Nope.
Do you not win it?
This is hard. Who won Matt O'Reilly?
Nope.
It's not going well, is it?
See, I started not going to them, so I sort of switched off from who won it.
Kyogo won last year, did he?
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Shankland and Kyogo before that.
Yeah. So. Shankland's not put in the Premier League.
This is a tough one.
Right, just look down the...
Anyway, I'll get back to you. Or you'll get back to me, I should say. The last nine winners of the Player of the Year PFA Award, and they've made an appearance for a current English Premier League side. So like James
Craig Gordon
in Newcastle. No.
Yes, he has.
He's not there.
Sunderland. Not in the Premier League.
Is Stuart Armstrong? No, you don't know.
Anyway, let's go back and see what your suggestions are coming in on the Player of the Year. Laurie is on the line. What would your four-man shortlist be, Laurie?
My four-man shortlist. Firstly, Gordon, thank you for picking me to appear on the programme tonight. It's always a pleasure. It would be very easy for me, Gordon, as a Celtic fan, to pick four Celtic players, but I think that would be hugely disrespectful to the other teams in the league. So here are my four candidates. Dyson Maeda, of course, from my own team, Celtic. The guy has just been prolific all season. He's got bags of energy. He's always involved in the play. Gives 100% every time. My other three would be Simon Murray of Dundee. I think if it wasn't for his contribution, Dundee probably would be stuck firmly at the bottom of the table. If Dundee survive this season, it'll be largely due to Simon Murray's efforts. A guy in his early 30s, he's still got some stamina, some endurance, and he never gives up. He fights every lost cause. He's my second choice as a striker. My other two choices, Gordon, and a season has been truly disappointing, of course, for Rangers. I think one guy shines like a beacon for them is Nicholas Raskin. Tenacious, combative, he's just one of them wee kind of terrier types that likes to make a nuisance of himself. So he's worthy for inclusion in my quartet. And the other one might be a wee bit of a dark horse for a lot of people, but I've been very impressed this season by the young Hibernian defender, Lewis Miller. I think that he's got everything it takes to get to the top. He's got athleticism. He's got physicality. He's comfortable in the ball going forward. But most of all, he's solid at the back. So those would be my four choices, Gordon.
I love that. What a variety of that list, because it's safe to begin with. And by Laurie's own admission, that's a left field shout.
He's recognising other players in other clubs. He's right. It's very easy. Look, nobody would argue if you go and pick four Celtic players, right? They're on the verge of winning the Premier League.
Is Lewis Miller doing it for you?
No.
I thought you were happy with the list.
No, I'm happy with the thought. I thought he got off to a great start when he agreed with two of mine, and I was with him all the way, and then I think he let himself down badly when he started sort of disagreeing with my fullback situation. But I like the way he's thinking there. It's very, very good indeed. I like that. And as a Celtic fan, I know Laurie throughout the years. You know, he makes a great point about Raskin. He really does. I think Raskin, and especially in Europe, has been excellent. Mark brought that up earlier. Miller, just for me, isn't quite there yet. I think there's other candidates that will get picked before him.
He got a lot of stick, Mark, didn't he, early in the season? But yeah. I think maybe like various members of the Hibs back line, because if you were picking one, maybe Rocky Bashir is actually the one that deserves real praise. You know, in terms of get better and better.
They have improved. I mean, it was calamitous at the start of the season, and Lewis Miller was a part of that. I mean, it just looked like anything that came down his side was going to result in a goal, or there was a mistake in him. And Bashiri was similar alongside him. I think Iredale coming in, reverting to a three, Bashiri playing in the middle has made him a much more solid unit. And Miller's certainly got the attributes to play that right centre-back role, no doubt about it. You know, a bit of full-back in him as well, so he can get forward. But I would have to disagree with Laurie in terms of a player of the year shout. While he has been solid, I think you really need to excel. And, you know, maybe there's one or two more at Hibs that probably would deserve a shout more than Miller. But I think Raskin, Maeda certainly. And I would say Murray. I agree with Daz and Laurie that Murray should have a shout.
Could you see Raskin making the top four? Would you have him?
I would have him in the top
four. You would?
I think he's done enough. I think, again, going back to the best players in this league this season, and I know Rangers have had a disappointing season, everybody knows that, but he's still been probably the pick of the bunch. They're still, you know, the second team in the country who have won more games than the rest. He has stood out on certain occasions. In big games, he's stood out.
Is he Rangers' best player?
Aye, I would say.
Better than Cherney?
I would say just edges it. I think, by the way, Cherney's a decent shout as well, but I think Raskin just edges it.
I think, you know, again, if it depends if we're having fun with this or if you want to go like official the way it's probably going to pan out. That the problem with Cherney, obviously, is he comes into that category with Kuhn and Maeda, so they had more votes than him to get into team of the year, whereas Raskin is in there. But again, if it was a blank slate, would you any? Well, you've not. You're fullbacks union.
No, I could go either way. They're good points here. I forgot about Cherney. I think he came on to a real good game. Look, some people would be shouting, well, how can you leave somebody like Kuhn out, right? His assists, the start of the season, Gordon, been absolutely brilliant. But I'm like Laurie a little bit. You're trying to just say, right, okay, it's dead easy to go down the Celtic road. They're winning the treble, probably. Let's just pick four Celtic players. Bit boring for me. Try and mix it up.
It'll never happen that the way anyway, is it?
No, it's never the case, because you obviously do your first, second choice. Mm-hmm. So you get a couple of choices. But it's not a participation event. It's for the best players in the league. So I know what you're saying.
It's for the best performance that season, and there are various ways of doing that, because if you are, even if you're someone who's seen to be punching above your weight or doing a good job for a team at the bottom, it will get recognition.
Get recognised for the players. Shanklin was the big one last year. He won it. You know, but he deserved to be.
We've seen Regan Charles Cook was in the shortlist, I'm sure, when he had that good season at Ross County.
Yeah. Who else won it?
Michael Higden, quite famously or infamously.
Did he play in England? Who else won it?
Charles Cook, did he?
Oh, that's a shout. Oh, Charles Cook. Well, oh, no.
He didn't play. He played in the English Premier League for a current club. No.
Scott Sinclair.
Yes. Anyway, we're not doing the teaser.
Sorry. Oh, get distracted.
Because Laurie was making a. Making some good
points. Sorry.
Anyway, we'll thank Laurie for his time and his suggestion. I like Laurie's a student of the game. He's given a bit of love there to Hibs, mm-hmm. who didn't get any in team of the year. So I know if we're getting official about it, they won't have anyone in the shortlist. But it's nice to get your suggestions and who you think would. Hibs have had some good performers. Nicky Cadden.
Nicky Cadden's been excellent. I think Hibs probably.
What about your colleague Andy Halliday? No, don't be daft. I'm not suggesting him for player of the year. He had Rocky Bashiri in his team of the year.
Yeah, because you look at Hibs and they didn't have anybody in mm-hmm. the team of the year, and look at the season they're having. Right, maybe a timing of votes as well and stuff like that. There's one or two came to the surface, but he started poorly. Right, we've got to admit he started poorly. But he come on to a great game. Cadden's been excellent for Hibs as well. There's another one. Sorry, Matt. Martin Boyle has been a real standout for Hibs.
I was going to say there's a bit of bias with the attackers and defenders, because the defender, the mistakes like Bashiri makes, always sticking your head, and he's had a shocker all season when in fact he turns it around. I think it's the opposite for strikers. They could have a quiet start to season, but as soon as they start banging in goals, sticks in the head from January to May, and they'll get included. I think that's what happens with players as well.
Neil is on the line. How are you, Neil?
Thank you.
If you had to come up with four that you think deserve the nomination for the Player of the Year, who would you come up with?
That's tough one. I'd probably go with Mieda, McGregor, Kuhn, and possibly Sure.
All right, okay. He was in Team of the Year, so it's possible.
I think Suter
could be your centre half in between your full backs.
He could probably fit in my defensive lineup. I don't think Suter will be. I think Suter's been good for Rangers, but I think Matt says are better Rangers performers over the season, and I think the two's asking a chair.
What we're seeing then, are we saying that I'm looking at the calls, the tweet, your guys' opinion? Are there three sort of honourable mention Rangers players this season then? Is it Cherney? Because obviously we know they've had a disappointing season domestically. My goodness, this show has gone round and round on it. You're saying Suter, Raskin and Cherney, are they the only real sort of definite pass marks
for Rangers this season?
Or are there more?
It's hard to make an argument for more, isn't it?
You know, your man
Dessers scores plenty of goals, don't he?
Yeah.
Because I've now reduced the debate. I'm now not saying player of the year candidates necessarily. I'm talking about players that Rangers fans would say he's had a good season. Now, yeah, I know you get degrees of that.
See, where Dessers will probably let themselves down a little bit. I think a lot of people label him with, yeah, he scored plenty of goals, but look all the chances he's missed. He should have scored a lot more. So, in that, he's not really up.
Do you know
there.
What I mean? Because, look, obviously, it's totally different in Celtic or. You know, dominant and are going to win things. And you've said, you know, you think Alistair Johnson's had a good season. You know, Carter Vickers has still had a good season, but he won't be in the conversation for this. Again, Hatate's had a good season, but he won't be in the conversation for this. But, you know, in the broadest sense of whatever a good season is, are those the three, or are there more Rangers players that you would consider? We still put Dessers in that bracket. Would you consider it a good season?
I think it'd be a good season. I don't think it's a good enough season to get them in the top four.
I think if you think a Rangers Player of the Year awards to, I think
that
in
would
the
be
running,
there for.
I think in the running, I think Dessers would be ahead of Suter in that respect. So I think if
that.
You had a top three,
that,
it'd
right.
be Raskin, Cherney, and Dessers.
I'm going with that one.
Neil, is there any? We'll do this debate again next week when the four names do get confirmed. Is there any way that it's anyone other than Daizen Maeda that wins this?
Absolutely not. No, Daizen Maeda, by January, so on. No, it's Daizen Maeda. Before that, it was Nicholas Kuhn.
Yeah, but the thing about Maeda is he didn't even. It's not like he started the season slow. It's just that Kuhn was also up there. I mean, Gordon, I don't know. To reiterate, we can have a proper debate on who'll win it next week when we know who the four are, but I wonder if we could ever convince our colleague Fraser Wishart to tell us. I'm interested in, I could be completely wrong on this. It's just off the top of my head. I can't remember a season where it felt so obvious.
Oh, it's a stick on. The reason being as well, right, we talk about Maeda. He started on the left-hand side as obviously in the wide areas. Kyogo goes away. He comes into centre-forward area. And everybody thinks, and I agree with, I think it's Hugh as well that talks about this, I love him as a centre-forward, but every time he goes wide, we've seen him in the last few games, because Brendan Rodgers is mixed up. He still performs, he still scores goals, he's still a threat, everything about him. Celtic fans forgot about Kyogo very, very quickly because of one man. It was as simple and straightforward as that. Maeda stepped in there and all of a sudden it just kept going. He was banging goals in. He's a real threat. He scores in the big games. He scores important goals. It's the biggest stick on ever for me.
He was quite often the kind of underappreciated one that all the signings that Postecoglou made, because Hatate and Kyogo were the stars really that were going to be sold on, and Maeda had to play a kind of supporting role in that, and everybody praised him for his work rate, and but technically when he got to the byline he was wasteful, and all of a sudden this season everything has just clicked for him. He's a great example for young players as well, how to actually play the game, how to approach a game.
Maybe it's recency bias. Maybe there have been other years where it has been as clear as this. It just feels like usually we would get people coming on the phone and making a case for the others in the four. I can't imagine that. So, you know, I'm forecasting to Monday or whenever it is, when the four names get confirmed, I just don't think we'll get one single call to say that it's anyone other than...
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I mean, the goals tally as well. So he could put in all the good performances and assists and still probably be out in front. But the goals as well that he scored this season, what is he on anyway? Run about 32 odds.
32,
so a remarkable return. Anybody that's putting that many goals away is always in the running. But he's got a whole bag of assists. And everything else that comes with his performance.
Maybe 33.
Daz is right. Replacing Kyogo as a striker, but then revert back to wide. There is so much to his game.
Okay, thank you very much for all the calls. 01419511025. Get your suggestions in. Is there anything you agree or disagree with, or something we've not heard? Good time to call now. On the teaser, it's tied into this theme as well. Can you name the last 9 winners of PFA Scotland's Players Player of the Year who've played for a current English Premier League side, like James Tavernier and Scott Sinclair?
I'm going to stay in my fullback situation here. Kieran Tierney?
No.
He's never won Player of the Year.
Not the... He won the Young Award multiple times, I think, but not the...
Are we going back to... Did James McFadden win it? No.
Nope.
Stephen Naismith?
Nope.
Are we going back... How far are we going back, Gordon, just to give us a wee hint?
Yeah, I mean, it's the last 9, but you're spread out over the last kind of 20 years or so.
People, is Petrov and all these boys?
No, that's difficult. 20 year.
20 year.
20 year. John Hartson.
What I would need to check, I don't think it matters too much, I don't want to confuse you, I'm not convinced they have to have played in the English Premier League.
That was a good
question. Oh, so what would what do you mean? Or just it? Played for one of their clubs.
So that's
in the...
Yeah.
So like,
so it's the current Premier League clubs, but that club might have been out the top flight at
right,
the time.
Okay.
I'm not sure I had to even bring it up, because I don't think it'll alter your thinking too much. You should still just be focusing on the clubs anyway and what players have played there. So it was just as an aside. Anyway, I'll give you some more thinking time.
We'll need it.
Get the calls in right now as well. Let me tell you about this. If you fancy a free... Look, his ears are about to go because I'm about to say the word free. This does not involve you, though. If you fancy a free holiday worth up to £5,000 whilst donating to Cash for Kids, what's a pretty good offer. We've teamed up with stuarttravel.co.uk, who've donated a £5,000 holiday voucher, and it could be yours, whether it's a family break, a luxury escape for two, the adventure of a lifetime. It can go towards any holiday package or cruise, beach resorts, theme parks, cruises, safaris, Vegas. The choice is completely yours. And to enter, text WIN to 84901. That's a brilliant prize. Not because I'm not saying that because I have to. Think how good that would be. Text WIN to 84901. The text costs your standard network rate plus a voluntary £5 donation, and 100% of that goes to Cash for Kids. So it's a win-win. Lines closed Thursday 1st of May, 10 a.m. over 18s only. T's and C's Clyde1.com. Text WIN to 84901.
Text
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are toiling on this full-time teaser. We're looking for the last nine winners of a PFA Scotland Player of the Year award who've made an appearance for a current English Premier League side. So the club, they just have to be in the Premier League currently. So you've got James Tavernier, because he played for Newcastle. Scott Sinclair, Man City, Chelsea, Villa. Any during the break?
Stephen Davis.
Yep, Villa, Fulham, Southampton. You had options.
Eddie McGeady.
Aidan McGeady, yes.
Oh!
Aidan. From Everton.
Aidan, yeah.
Yep.
Right, see when you mention, did Stefan Johansson win play?
He did, well done.
What a shout that is.
Fulham.
Fulham, superb.
That's brilliant.
Good on you.
Yeah, he's often forgot about it. Yeah,
you're doing well.
Well, I'm not doing that.
That was the team that had like Van Dijk, etc. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get back to that. Fraser is on the line. How are you, Fraser?
I'm not too bad, mate. Yourself?
No bad. What made you call tonight?
Well, I seen you. I'd mentioned that you seen my putt, and a few boys.
Oh, are you the guy? Are you the putter?
I'm the guy, mate. I'm the guy.
No way.
Oh, mate, was that two or a three?
It was a three.
Still, no, I've seen it. You're not taking that away from him. So, if anyone's just joining us, I was in St Andrews today and I saw a guy putt from. What are we talking here, Fraser? Because you'll have measured it and you'll be adding.
Paddy said 66.
Oh, 66 yards. He's putted it, and honestly, and it was a nice day. So many people watching. I was just standing myself, and it hit the pin, dropped in. Fraser, you milked that though, didn't you? You were going daft.
Oh, I was ready. You ever seen the scene for Happy Gilmore where he's got the top above his...
Oh, Fraser, I'm so jealous of you. A lovely day playing a course I've never played before.
Honestly, right. So, but you get a round of applause and then you come off, Fraser, didn't you? And there was all these Americans standing there going, that was a heck of a shot, heck of a shot, buddy. You know, patting him on the back. Fraser, it does not get any better than that, does it?
No, honestly. Couldn't they pick a better course? It's absolutely tremendous. I uploaded the video to TikTok and, do you know what I mean, everybody's like, oh, what a shot.
How honestly, did you know, Chip? At 66 yards, you know, good chipper.
It's a lynx.
See, be fair, my caddy, John, shout out to him. He had me putt off 66 yards all day. And I'm telling you, I've had a couple of belter close ones as well.
See, these guys know their stuff.
John, how did you get on?
So normally, I shoot 108 on average.
Oh, I'm not playing with you, mate.
87 the day. 87 the day I shot.
Because of your caddy.
On that caddy. He's magic.
10%, mate. 10%.
Superb. Honestly, you tell me somebody bought the drinks for you as well when you were finished.
I did. My wee mate, Graham Booth.
Graham Booth. What, is that the first time you've played there as well?
It is very first time. My mate won the ballot on Wednesday.
Don't ever go back.
Hold on. Were you listening to this show and heard your shout out?
Did someone put you on to us when I gave you a mention earlier on?
He did. I had about five messages on TikTok, about four on Instagram, and my brother was trying to phone me relentlessly.
I knew the power of this show would find you. Well done, Fraser. I wanted to congratulate you in person. Enjoy the rest of your night.
I appreciate it. Thanks,
good
guys.
Good man. There we go.
Amazing. That's the power of the show. That'll
live
what with else him. Can we find?
That will love him for the rest of his
remarkable,
days,
honestly.
You were angling for a game there. And of course, I've never played before. He's given it. You thought he was a member or something.
Exactly. Hi, Fraser's no good to me. Don't put
he's
back
not shy,
him.
This guy, in getting freebies in golf courses.
I can't believe we're almost at the end of the show. There was a few other topics I thought we could get stuck right into tonight. Maybe we'll do it in the next couple of days. So give me like a sort of quick fire response to two others that I saw. Josh Mulligan of Dundee linked with Rangers. Good idea.
I tried to get him a couple of years ago. I was close to getting him at Brecon. I liked him as a young kid. Good player. Kind of box to box.
Powerful, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And that's what I liked
looking
him.
Looking more
when
of like
a
right back now, though. I think that would probably be his preferred.
Well, aye, maybe, but there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
you know what I mean? That
no,
you can play a number of positions.
Box to box, yeah. I think no more.
Yeah, so might not be a bad shout. Rangers have obviously dipped into that market already.
Yeah. Thumbs up or not for you?
Yeah, I like Rangers and Celtic to go and get some talent that play in Scotland and know the league and improve them. So I think that'd be a good addition, yeah.
I told you it was quick fire. The other one I really wanted to do, we can maybe get stuck in tomorrow. Can you see the outgoing Jamie Vardy ending up in the Scottish Premiership?
By the way, the obvious, what a shout.
Either of Glasgow's two.
I would say more Rangers. Than Celtic.
Worked with Brendan Rodgers before.
Yeah.
Looking for that third striker.
No, for a Celtic point of view.
Okay.
I think a Rangers point of view, he could certainly do a job.
No, I've seen this movie many times before. Older players come to England, they're end of their career, and it just, Scottish football doesn't work for them. So
sure?
He's been a brilliant striker, but not
miles
for me.
Miles off in this teaser.
Right, give us a clue, give us a clue.
Right, you've got Tavernier, Sinclair, Johansson, Davis, McGeady, another ex-teammate of yours.
Sean Maloney.
Yes.
Another
ex-teammate of yours, Wolves. This is
Lee Naylor.
No, this is
Lee Naylor.
He's going to be one player of the year up here. He's Scottish. You've probably forgotten about his Wolves spell. He recently departed Kelty as manager.
Charlie McGrew.
Charlie McGrew. What about a former Celtic player who played for Nottingham Forest and Derby? He did that old one.
Chris Coleman.
Yes.
Another
ex-Wolves player. Oof. Played for Hibs. Played for Dundee, Livingston, Celtic. I think he's now out in Australia. Scored 2 free kicks for Scotland.
Oh, he Griffiths.
Griffiths, Johansson, Commons, McGrew, Davis, McGeady, Maloney.
Yes, we got there easy. Easy. Nailed it again, Daz.
Thank you, Mark and Gordon. Thank you, though, for listening, calling, tweeting. Looking forward to the weekend. Serious incentives all over the league this weekend. So we'll build up to tomorrow night from 6. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.